Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Klaus Ehrenbeck, and on behalf of the entire team of the IR department, I would like to wish you a very warm welcome to our today's conference call on our Q numbers for fiscal year 2015-2016. All the relevant documents for this conference call have already been published. They are available since 7:00 A.M. this morning on the IR section of our websites. I think this is so far from my side. With that, I would like to hand over to Heinrich and Guido, who will lead you through the highlights of the quarter. Afterwards, as always, we are available for your questions. Heinrich, please take over.
Yeah, Klaus, thank you very much, and welcome to our Q1 call. Our growing capital goods business, and hopefully or luckily, our powerful impact program had a strong and stabilizing effect on our performance in a very difficult materials environment. Nevertheless, group's orders, sales, and earnings are down due to the global supply overhang and trade imbalances in the material markets. In contrast to this, all our capital goods businesses generated higher orders and sales, partly also for exchange rate reasons, as well as earnings level or higher than a year earlier. In particular, the development of the order intake, as well as the project pipeline, showed strong progress for the group's capital goods-driven growth perspective. All capital goods businesses generated higher orders, up 13% on a year-over-year basis or 9% on a comparable basis, with a book-to-bill ratio above one. Industrial Solutions won the largest cement plant order ever in their history, and even more important, looking forward, there are further big projects in advanced negotiation. In addition, our successful technology transition at Components Technology to electric-powered steering systems enjoys excellent traction at leading international OEMs. We expect further progress with seasonally and structurally higher capital goods earnings in the coming quarters, backed by focused sales and technology initiatives, and definitely by our impact program. This program, Impact, is a clear driver of structural earnings growth at our capital goods business and provides an important cushion against the material headwinds. Nevertheless, Chinese surplus steel production has been redirected massively into exports, resulting in regional supply overhangs and strong downward pressure on prices worldwide. It is very encouraging to see that addressing the destructive excess capacity situation in China is on the agenda of the top Chinese leadership, and that the EU Commission seems to support the position of the European steel industry, which is asking for a level playing field. This is encouraging, especially against the background of today's announcement of the EU Commission. The opening of the investigation with respect to hot rolled coil and heavy plate proves that the Commission considers the European steel industry position as justified. We hope for a smooth and fast process of the investigations. The EU Commission has also decided on preliminary measures against China, up to 16%, and Russia, up to 26% in the cold roll case. We expect that these preliminary measures will have a stabilizing effect on the European cold rolled flat steel market. Our outlook for the full year remains unchanged. However, target achievement requires a significant recovery of material markets in our second fiscal half, compared with the unsustainable situation which we have seen in Q1. There is definitely no doubt that the start of the new fiscal year has been tough, as weak material business, but also temporarily unfavorable tax ratios, have caused a temporary small net loss. Nevertheless, our capital goods and impact performance provide strong evidence that our strategic way forward and our diversified industrial concept we have is a clear and effective plan going forward. The volatility of the materials business is high, but becomes more manageable as we continue to reduce our exposure and as increasing focus on our capital goods business continue to provide structural earnings growth. Our impact program continues to pay off as 250 million efficiency gains, or around about 30% of the targeted 850 million for the year, have been achieved after the first 3 months. Capital goods upside for the rest of the year is well secured by high-quality order backlog. At Elevator, with a backlog at a new high of above 5 billion euro, and at Industrial Solutions with a backlog already covering 95% of planned sales and earnings for the current fiscal year. Overall, the backlog for Industrial Solutions is well above 12 billion euro. In addition, upside and stability is driven by continuous growing the service business at Elevator and Industrial Solutions, leveraging our large installed base, as well as by offering innovations that meet the growing need for more consumer and capital goods, however, in a resource-friendly way. And also by preparing ourselves and our customers for the age of digitization. All our programs generate business opportunities and efficiency potentials. Some examples: one is the successful technology shift in steering at Components Technology, which is complemented by increased production in growth regions and best-cost countries. Or the cross-business regional market development and repair and maintenance service expansion at Industrial Solutions. This is strongly complementing the big-ticket opportunities for petrochemical plants in the Americas or the submarine programs in Australia and India. As mentioned before, the growth in our capital goods business needs to be compared to the volume and price-related decreases at the material service businesses, which is really strongly reflecting the high import and the price pressure out of it. It's also a consequence of the accelerated destocking of our customers towards calendar year end, and as well as our own decision by a more selective order intake at Steel Europe. Contrary to this, markets for our capital goods business have developed well in line with our expectations. The outlook for our Components, Elevator, and Industrial Solutions business remains positive. In China, we see that an important automotive customer seems to have completed his temporary destocking. The Chinese sales tax incentives seem to work very well. Moreover, orders from international OEMs in the past 12 months for our new steering systems have increased to more than 7 billion euro. Remember, this is coming up from a level at 4.5 billion, which we did disclose to you a few days before our Capital Markets Day in early December. All the strong demand for new elevator installation continues, especially in the U.S., Middle East, and South Korea. The number of new installations in China were higher for us year-on-year, following the acquisition of the majority shareholding in Marun. Industrial Solutions could book the biggest cement plant order ever. And together with further mid-sized cement plant and mining equipment, our Resource Technology could generate the highest order intake in 7 years. Also, orders at our automotive production equipment unit increased to new high. Important looking forward, there are further big projects in advanced negotiation states at Industrial Solutions. With that, Guido?
Yeah. Thank you. The sound development in our cap goods businesses compares to weaker materials performance in a significantly weaker materials environment. EBIT adjusted at all cap goods businesses was level or higher year-on-year. Components, EBIT adjusted slightly up, reflecting top-line growth and slight margin improvement due to efficiencies. Business-wise, improvements in cars and wind energy components outweighed downturn in components for trucks and construction machinery and market weakness in Brazil. Elevator, EBIT adjusted up by 14%, reflecting 9% sales growth and 40 bps margin improvement, driven by strong sales growth in the US, China, and South Korea, as well as efficiency and restructuring measures under our impact program. IS, adjusted EBIT at prior year level, with a higher sales, with margin within the target range of 6-7%. Material services, adjusted EBIT is broadly at prior year level, Positive effects due to the absence of impacts from the strike at ASD in the prior year quarter and progress with restructuring and efficiency programs and sales initiatives were offset by price and margin pressure and absence of income from divested operations, which is VDM and RIP in Brazil. Also, we had to incur windfall losses given the rapid decline of prices. Steel Europe, in a very difficult environment, Steel Europe could still deliver a 51 million positive EBIT. Nevertheless, we're down year on year by around 35%, severely impacted by lower volumes and prices. Q1 shipments were 8% below the already low level of the prior year quarter. Keep in mind the delayed completion of the Caster modernization in Q1 2014-15, reflecting negative spillover effects from increasing import pressure, with corresponding increase in customer caution, in addition to seasonal destocking at the end of the calendar year. Significantly negative market effects were partially cushioned by sustained cost reduction programs and positive mix effects. Quarter on quarter, we had steel revenues per ton reflect our selective margin-oriented sales approach. They were quarter on quarter slightly up. In Americas, we had higher shipments, efficiency gains, and production volumes were outweighed by significant negative price effects. The adjusted EBIT includes a negative sales tax effect of around 20 million euros. The free cash flow before M&A came out at minus 848 million and is, as flagged to you in November, down year on year. This reflects lower earnings as well as an increase in net working capital with higher inventories, especially at materials businesses, higher receivables also at industrial solutions, and lower payables, especially at the materials and components businesses. As a consequence, quarter on quarter gearing came out temporarily higher, but compared to previous year was slightly lower. However, year-on-year gearing, driven by accumulated retained earnings, positive forex effects, and higher pension discount rates. Full-year outlook for free cash flow before M&A is unchanged, expected at prior year level, based on, similar to last year's profile, continued quarterly improvements and significant positive cash flow contributions in fiscal HQ, driven by improved earnings, a more favorable distribution of milestone payments at Industrial Solutions, as well as seasonally lower net working capital requirements. EBIT adjusted in the outlook for Q2 for the full year 15-16. We expect group EBIT adjusted in Q2 lower year on year. Last year it was 405, but quarter on quarter up, reflecting lower realized prices at our materials businesses versus year on year and quarter on quarter, despite seasonally slight lower earnings at ET, higher cap goods contributions. At components, we expect year-on-year stable contributions in Q2 versus prior year quarter, which has benefited from a strong Chinese automotive environment. We see seasonally and structurally upside potential in fiscal second half. At Elevator, we expect continued top-line growth and continued year-on-year margin expansion. At Industrial Solutions, we expect year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter higher contributions in Q2, with upside secured by a high-quality backlog, which covers already 95% of this year's expected sales and includes high-margin projects approaching completion. Material services, we expect year-on-year broadly stable earnings but quarter-on-quarter improvements, reflecting sequentially higher volumes and lower windfall losses. At Steel Europe, we expect year-on-year clearly weaker earnings and quarter-on-quarter broadly stable contributions, reflecting sequentially weaker prices versus seasonally higher volumes. At Americas, we expect year-on-year clearly weaker earnings and quarter-on-quarter flat contributions, with given lag effects, prices expected to trough in fiscal Q2 and current prices and CRU forecasts indicating upside for the fiscal H2. The group's outlook for full-year EBIT adjusted remains therefore unchanged, requiring, as we have already stated, a clear recovery of material markets in our second fiscal half. Net income is expected to increase significantly, also due to reduced impact from special items. Free cash before M&A is expected at prior year level. To sum it up, the start to the fiscal year has been tough, but our cap goods and impact performance provide strong evidence of structural progress. It is particularly encouraging to see the strong progress in the group's cap goods-driven growth perspective. Besides that, there's still a lot of homework and improvement potential left at every BA, and thus clear value upside on our transformation journey.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Guido. Thank you very much, Heinrich. And Alison, before I hand back to you, I would like to ask the participants in the call now in the Q&A session to limit their number of questions to maximum three so that everybody has a chance to ask his questions. Thank you very much for this. And now, Alison, please take over for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, please press star one on your telephone if you wish to ask a question, and press the hash key if you wish to cancel this. Your first question comes from the line of Michael Schillaker of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. I'll take my three questions in, if I may. The first question, I guess, is an obvious one. The guidance is now very caveated on the second half, but I think that does still create, from an investor's perspective, who probably even remember 2012, 2013 as not being that long ago, a pretty open door at the bottom end of the range. So can you give us some sense of comfort, A, re your assumptions in the 1.6 for the materials division, and B, can you stress test that a little bit so that if materials remains weak all year, where we actually end up on the lower end of the range of the guidance? Second question. Look, I mean, it's a little bit of deja vu over 18 years watching Thyssen here, in that we've got very strong cap goods with growth being washed away by weaker materials. At what stage do you actually feel under increased pressure or urgency to restructure the shape of the group so that actually we can focus on just improving the cap goods business and we're not having conference calls where the materials is proving the spoiler in the numbers? And is there any urgency? Maybe there's not. And the third question, I think, you know, what I find a lot from an investor perspective, there are two key issues. One, too much debt, including pension, and two, too little cash flow. And again, this has been a long-term thematic with the ThyssenKrupp story. In the absence or excluding cost reductions, which are perpetual, and we're still kind of in a similar situation, are there any further material remedial actions that you could take? And I guess if you look back at TK 15 years ago, there were some pretty shrewd asset sales which didn't create a lot of EBIT but actually raised a reasonable amount of money. Are there any hidden assets in there in the group now that you think you could sell? And I suppose a follow-up question to that is, how material is materials to the group in terms of material services? And is that a business actually you just think at some stage we don't really need it, we can get rid of it? Thank you.
Yeah, Michael, thank you for the questions. Let me just jump on your first one. You know that our Q1 was always the weakest one if you look at our history. But this year, clearly, Q1 was specifically hit by the windfall losses of around 30 million euro at material service and the negative sales tax asset effect of around 20 million at Steel America. So if you look on the guidance, Guido elaborated in more detail right now, we clearly see that we expect Q2 better than Q1 and the second half of the year better than the first half. You know, again, if you look on our traction record in recent years, if I just jump first on our capital good business, normally the contribution in the second half of the year was 20% stronger than the first half of the year. Now let me jump more on the material side. This clearly, the achievement of our guidance implies an improvement in volume and prices, but we are not just sitting and wait. There is as well a consequent implementation of impact measures. So just to give you an idea that volumes and efficiency measures really contribute more than half of what we need to come in with our guidance, the remaining need to be supported by a better pricing situation. And we believe that is not unrealistic given really the low inventories and the robust real consumption. You know, we had in Q1 around about 2.5 million tons. If you look back normally in Q2, Q3, we were around or above 3 million tons. So in a demand scenario, which is really reality of today, definitely our assumption, let's say, that we might see a more favorable pricing environment, I do believe, has also some reality considering the potential trade actions just announced today. So these are the ingredients why we confirm our clear projections for the full year. Now, you talked about, let's say, although I have not been with the company 10 years ago, that you feel, let's say, like a déjà vu. you know, I wouldn't confirm this in full, because if we would not have done the significant portfolio changes in the last 5 years, let's say really getting rid of stainless with the exception of AST and some other assets, including, by the way, Alabama, we would be in a complete different shape. Yeah. Now, we know that, and this was our clear commitment, we will continue our journey to grow and strengthen our capital goods business and use opportunities to further reduce the capital intensive and highly volatile material business. But we believe that the clear statement which we have given to the market is more value accretive, a kind of a consolidation to the company and to our shareholders than any other option. I'm going to take you the last one.
Clearly. And I can only add to that, just because the pressure is higher, you know, this increases definitely pressure in industries to talk, but solutions don't get more obvious all the time than in all parts. And restructuring, as you outlined there, you know, just because the steel is in the down cycle, you know, there is no change in how we value and see things. We've always stated that CSA and AST are non-strategic assets, and that a consolidation could help to overcome the issues in Europe in steel. And in our cap goods businesses, we're developing nicely in line with the sector. So there is no change, I think, in our underlying assumption. And it's rather the opposite. It's currently proving to be very true. If you look at our share development, share price development, it's mainly driven by the steel cycle and not so much by our performance, as you could see, till August last year. On the debt and pension, yeah, sure. On the other hand, that has been always difficult, but we have improved significantly. Cash flow has been positive last year, and our balance is to be break-even as well. We haven't been for the last years before when we've been here. We have done some asset sales in the past, true, but we have no other assets directly now on the table and on the plate that we want to sell. You addressed specifically the material services part. This is not on our non-core list or what we want to do something, and if you take a look at the performance and the results you currently see in the whole sector, it doesn't seem to be a good timing.
Okay, all right, clear, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ino Sashel of Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one would be on free cash flow, and thanks for providing some guidance on the Q2 free cash flow, but could you comment a bit more on the two segments that have been a drag on the free cash flow in the first quarter, Steel Europe and Industrial Solutions? Could you tell us a little bit how much of a net working capital drag you still see there in the second quarter? Would it be fair to say that free cash flow in both business areas is going to be negative, but not as bad as in the first quarter? The second question would be on Steel Americas. In the last calls, we spoke a lot about the commercial opportunities that you see in the market, winning new customers, also in Latin America. Obviously, the margin quality does not yet appear to be great. Can you tell us a little bit what you see profitability-wise in Steel Americas? And I don't mean with regards to spot prices and market prices, which we can all track, but in terms of company-specific pricing and mix there, if there's a chance to improve that a bit, or also whether there's a specific the cost-saving number attached to the ultimate performance program in local currencies. Yeah, that would be helpful.
Yeah, well, let me start with the free cash. Yeah, I can support all your assumptions. Steel Europe and IS should be better in Q2 than in Q1.
Yeah, let me come to Steel Americas. I think if you have followed up the situation of the steel industry, which is, let's say, really a challenging one, then you have recognized that some of the players there have shut down, let's say, the blast furnaces. And out of that, we were really able to secure, let's say, a kind of a 12-month agreement, let's say, in the range of 500,000 tons. I cannot really highlight the name of the company to you, but you should understand the industry well. Clearly, the pricing is not very much attractive because, you know, the market is down, so there is no real demand. But also, as, let's say, we have to make some compromise on the pricing, nevertheless, it's quite beneficial for us on the cash side because it allows us to really use, let's say, our tax assets accumulated there. So this is really the guidance which we have given the team to make a kind of a fair optimization between, you know, let's say, not sacrificing the EBIT too much, but on the other, it's using the opportunities to generate cash out of the tax asset.
And what you could clearly see on the other hand, more than half of the volume still goes to the U.S., and the U.S. pricing has come down quite significantly. Now we see that this is increasing again. This has, on top of that, with some lag, some positive effect for Americas going forward.
Yeah, the CRU was clearly going up. Oh, not only the CRU, even the spot pricing in the U.S. was going up by a double-digit euro figure, a lower double-digit.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Alessandro Abbott of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My three questions are the following. Just considering the now basically announced remedy against the cheap import of steel to the European space, you are theoretically one of the greatest beneficiary of anti-dumping duties on cold roll coils. And this is probably something that, I don't know whether it was already factoring in your guidance, but if it was factoring in your guidance, 1.6 billion euro at a trough level, and considering that this duty between 16% and 26% might mean around 50-80 euro potential uplift in cold roll coils, even though not completely factored in probably, how does it support your guidance going forward? How much of this potential upside to steel prices can theoretically materialize in H2 and support your guidance? The second one is related to the M&A. Is quite a long time that you've been saying that you would be absolutely able and open if there is opportunity that support upside to your current valuation of the Steel Europe. But my question is very simple. I'm not going to ask you whether you want to basically spin it off or not, but within this kind of potential deals that merger with peers, have you also considered a potential takeover if you see that there is an industrial commercial logic that makes plan, but there is not really that great excitement on the other side to merge their asset with yours? And the third one is on the elevators in China, if you can actually give me an update how the things are developing, because it seems that they're probably doing better than expected. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Alessandro, let me come back to the tariffs. I mean, that's why we outlined it here in the call so very much, that we highly welcome this. This is definitely supportive to our case and was definitely needed to create a level playing field again in Europe, given the Chinese exports. Overall, level playing field is what we ask for. We're not afraid of competition. As you could see in the results we have had over the recent past in steel compared to competition. Now, on the M&A sector overall in Steel Europe, I mean, a takeover, definitely. I mean, what we have always clearly stated is we don't want to put cash on the table. And what you see, if you just take an outside-in view, without stating me anything about consolidation talks at all, it is that you see bigger and smaller companies on the playing field overall. And we have always said most important is that the issue of overcapacity is addressed appropriately. And on the other hand, clearly, as we have always outlined, we don't want to put money on something here.
Yeah, let me come to the elevator situation in China. As I said, we were definitely both in order intake and sales grow in the number of units just by the fact that we have now the majority in our Maroon elevator. But even if, let's say, we make it comparable, taking Maroon out, we will be grow in number of units in sales. We had a slightly soft start if you look on the number of units in order intake. So we are, let's say, down year on year by around 5%. Our team believes that they might recover a little bit over the year. So we believe that probably the reality by end of the year might be between flattish to around minus 5% in number of units.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Justin Sindwich of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I've got two questions. So, firstly, just on these one-off items, besides the sales tax item in Brazil and the windfall you mentioned in material services, as there must have been some negative impact from lower steel prices in the steel-producing units as well, as steel prices have obviously dropped quite sharply. I guess now they have actually stabilized, and so there should be less of a headwind going forward. Could you please give us any sense how much these windfall effects were in Q1 in Steel Europe and Americas, and how much much that will still possibly impact in the second quarter? And then secondly, on your order intake in capital goods, which indeed has been quite strong, and you already mentioned elevators, but maybe could you give us a little bit of color on what you think is the outlook for the next two quarters, particularly also with regards to industrial solutions and also components technology, please? Thank you.
Yeah, maybe I start with the outlook on the orders. I think why we are so encouraged by the order intake industrial solutions, because we did achieve the 1.5 billion in a book-to-bill larger than one without any contribution from Marine Systems. So it was really coming from our base business. Now, you know, you asked about the timing, Q2, Q3. This is really difficult, but I think if you have followed some announcement, there was a customer who announced that he has signed an EPC contract with us in a, let's say, it's the volume of 2 billion. It still will need some time because we have both sides very tough closing conditions, but clearly, if that would materialize, then this is a significant step forward. But as I said, it's not the only one. We have some others, let's say, where we are, we would see, let's say, the likelihood that we can win those within the current year. But as you saw, as I said before, the 2 billion, if it comes, it looks extremely nice. If it doesn't come or is postponed in a, let's say, next year, then it looks slightly different. But the funnel as such, as I said, is a solid one, and I think Q1 has proven that. Now, if you look on the component technology side, then clearly I made reference in my introduction, so did Guido, that in our steering business, we could accumulate long-term contracts above 7 billion, but they will not contribute to sales this year and also to a small extent last year, because the start of production for most of them is 2017, 2018. But on the other hand, then the most of them have a duration of 7 years or even longer. So today we have to live what we can gain. Overall, if I go on the different segments, we do believe that we can see growth on the automotive side, let's say, globally, because if you look on end customer or on the automotive market or light vehicle markets, we would see growth in similar amount, around 2% in China, in Europe, and also in U.S. Because we'll continue to see strong demand in our wind business. The area where we really have shrinking volume is heavy truck and construction. Yeah, so in short, and this probably overall leads to the present situation in components. On elevator, as I said, we have the following mix, that the growth was coming from Asia and Americas. We see, let's say, a shrinking volume in Europe, which is driven from South Europe and France, where we see a solid demand in Central Europe and the North. I hope this gives you a kind of a flavor how, let's say, the markets and the growth perspectives are distributed.
Coming back to your question regarding less headwind and how the windfall losses are at the Europe and Americas. We haven't broken that out completely, but what I can tell you is on Americas, we will see rather a shorter time frame to get it through the P&L, because there the contracts and the time and delivery is a bit shorter. On CE Europe, it takes some time because we have a longer contract duration on average here, and longer time with the procurement of the raw materials when they are on the water. So therefore, it takes a bit longer till we have it digested in CE Europe. Therefore, we will still see, even if we see a recovery in prices in Q2, that we will have some of these effects still. It takes some time, takes fully half a year till price changes are completely digested. At Americas, it goes a bit faster.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Seth Rosenfield of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Seth Rosenfield at Jefferies. It's a couple of different questions. Starting out on industrial solutions, I believe you mentioned that at present, about 95% of your expected 2016 revenues locked in with existing backlog. Can you extend that and tell us how that's looking out to fiscal 17, fiscal 18? I think you've been able to give that color in the past. So how does the current level of backlog compare to where you were maybe 2 or 3 years ago? And then separately, can you give us a bit more color on the outlook for new order wins and just confirm what sort of margins you should expect from these new wins? In the past, you had talked about new wins potentially driving up group-wide margins or sector-wide margins. Is that still going to be the case? And then separately, with the outlook for net debt and the broader balance sheet, I know you talked about the timeline for working capital release earlier, but can you just confirm what perhaps level of comfort you have in the current gearing ratio, and if you expect perhaps an increase in net debt driven by a working capital in Q2, how comfortable are you with that on a short-term basis? Thank you.
Let me start with the first one. Let's say normally what we would like to see is that for the following year, our order backlog confirms the sales by 50 to 60%, which is really the case for Industrial Solutions. You know, the margin, in the case of Industrial Solutions, we never made the statement that the new orders will drive up the margin. We clearly said as we are a margin leader in that sector, we normally try to stay within 6 to 7%. But this is clearly a mixture. As with the last project, we have an EPC contract. That means we put the construction through our books. It's normally slightly lower, but with the mixture of service and other business, then normally we can keep IS within the range of 6 to 7%. But there is upside in absolute terms by growth. But from the margin potential, the clear guidance, as they cannot decouple from market reality, is run your business between 6 to 7% margin.
Coming back to your question regarding the net debt and the gearing ratio, we clearly expect for the second quarter, again, a negative free cash, and therefore an increase in our gearing ratio. But this is the same pattern as we have seen last year. So. The covenant is only tested for year end, and that's where we feel comfortable that we will be in the normal range again.
Great. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Carsten Rieck of UBS. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Two questions from my side. The first is on the inventory. We have seen an inventory build up in the first quarter. Could you give a bit of light where that happened, because one field looks like is Steel Americas, because where the volumes production wise were quite high compared to the shipments, but were there other areas where we have seen inventory built up, and could that actually ease already in the second quarter? Second question is on auto renegotiations. We have heard from competitors of yours that the new contracts are not yet in the P&L. Could that mean that we see a bit more pressure on this in Steel Europe going forward, or is it, in your opinion, a stable margin here? Thank you very much.
You know, let me start with Steel first. I think Guido has already made reference that we do not see, an uptick in the EBIT for our steel in Q1, because that is exactly the case, that some of the contracts signed, we will see the shipments in Q2. That is exactly the reason you mentioned. But as I said, we were quite reluctant and a little bit selective, not to create a problem going forward. And then we see the potential going up in Q3 and Q4.
Yeah, coming back to the inventories, clearly we saw an increase in all material businesses, so Material Services, Americas, and Steel Europe, to a certain degree. An ease in Q2, I wouldn't really expect it. Shipments will be higher. In Europe as well. So this is not something we have on the plate for Q2.
Maybe to add one point, which might have a relevance to all listening to us. You know, when we started with our quarterly and half-year contracts, most of them were either 1st of June or either 1st of January. We have changed this. So in the course of the last 3 years, we have much better distributed, the different contacts beginning and end to different months. It's still, a tendency around that, but not a 50% 1st of January and 50% 1st of June as it has been in the past.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Roger Bell of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi there, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. We've seen the share price underperform, a basket of steel producers and capital goods producers quite significantly year to date. And, on P peer group multiples looks like it's trading at around a 50% discount to your sum of the parts. I mean, what risks do you think are being priced into your shares that are not being recognized in other people's shares, in particular, you know, in the elevator peers trading at around 14 times EV/EBITDA? And what can you do to sort of help the market recognize some of this unrealized value? So that's the first question. Second question would be, you know, we've seen German bond yields start to fall. What would your sort of contingency plan be if these falling yields drive your pension deficit up and start to sort of push the net debt to equity ratio back towards the 150% by year end? I mean, what's the sort of backup plan in that scenario? Also just sort of touching back on one of Michael's questions about sort of quantifying the guidance, to meet the bottom end of that range, 1.6 billion of EBIT, you know, you talked about requiring, you know, about two-thirds of the uplift in the materials businesses is from volumes and efficiency measures, and about a third is from prices. You know, if you were not to get any improvement in prices, would you miss the bottom end of that range, or are you talking, when you're talking about that improvement, is that to meet the sort of middle of the range?
Let me start with the share price. You know, we track this very carefully. And if you just remember, for roughly 1.5 years, we could really, in 2014, outperform the DAX, and we were second best. And even until July, we were really running parallel with the DAX and also with the average of industrials. But then somewhere in August, September, and let's say the concerns from the material sides, let's say, got overrated. And then within 2 months, we're actually, our share price went down from the average of industrials to the average of materials. That was the reason why, percentage-wise, we lost even more than some other materials. From November onwards, we could decouple a little again from the average of materials and perform better than most of the steel companies, but we did not come back to the industrial level. So I think right now we have the situation that people overrate the concerns out of our material business and do underestimate the stabilizing fact and the potential on the EBIT side of the industrial side. And definitely, I think what we need to show going forward, first of all, that even in a negative materials environment, we are in control of that business. And I think we are, because you can look in each and every segment. Our Steel Europe is, together with another company, leading in Europe. If you look on our materials service business, also not performing well. It's leading the ground in Europe and also our America. So we need to show that we are in control and that we bring it back. And I think then the power of our capital goods again gets overweight in the visibility and has the potential to drive our share price back.
Yeah, and therefore let me come to the two further questions you had on the debt level and on our gearing. Sure, if interest rates go down, our pension level goes up, and two-thirds out of that, or 70%, is recognized in equity then. We've seen that and experienced that throughout last year, where we even went down to discount rate of 1.5. That alone, surely, is an effect that increases your gearing figure. On the other hand, we clearly said we want to reach a free cash that is on the level of the last year. And last year we had a gearing with that of 103%. So therefore, the risk itself of low interest rates is there. Can we cover it from our point of view? It should be, given the guidance, in line with what we have, and therefore allow us to be below 150%. And let me clearly state, the 150% is not in all our contracts. It's in the syndicated loan, which we have not used. So therefore, even if that was gone, we still have money. Just to bear that in mind, if you talk about contingency, it needs to evaluate everything around that. And that's just the one thing, and the BNDES loans where it's in. Which is a lower volume. Regarding the 1.6, yes, we clearly have said in Steel Europe, one third is on additional prices, another third on volumes, and another third from our efficiency. On top of that, we have 20% on average higher results coming out of our capital goods businesses. This is a huge impact on our way to the 1.6 to 1.9 as well. So therefore, if one third out of Steel Europe is not there, it's less. Will that finally make us not achieve? I wouldn't commit to that. We have to see how the rest develops. But you can clearly see we had a tough start, and it's a long way, and we need some support, and that will be helpful.
Your next question comes from the line of Yanis Mazula. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. Three questions, actually. First, on elevators, there has been an EBIT margin improvement of 50 basis points year on year, but that's at the bottom end of the range, of the targeted range. Do you think that's going to improve in the coming quarters? Second question, in terms of the revaluation of the sales tax asset at Steel Americas, why would that impact the adjusted EBIT, and would it not make sense to have that item as an exceptional charge for the quarter, so we can better see the underlying performance? And third, in terms of capital allocation, I mean, some of your shareholders voiced concerns regarding the increasing the dividend, given the challenging market and the balance sheet concerns. I mean, what's your view now? Has it changed since you proposed the dividend? Any color on that? That would be really useful, actually.
You know, when we clearly announced that we go in our elevator business with a 15% margin, we clearly stated by the nature of the industry that you work very much on your installed base. The potential to improve that business lies between 0.5 percentage points a year to up to 0.7. You know, we have 1.2 million elevators under maintenance, but we add around about, let's say, some 40, 50,000 a year. So that means any measures you take will take a while until it's fully triggered through, and that defines these 0.5 percentage points for years. So we are clearly expecting that this range goes forward each and every year, but you should not expect higher. But on the other hand, I think the team has demonstrated the last 3 years consistently, each and every quarter and each and every year, that they are on that path.
Now, coming to your question of the dividend and whether we have now a different view than we had on the AGM, and I can clearly say no. First of all, let's talk about the total volume of that dividend. It's about 80 million. Last year, the 11 euro cents was something like 60. I think we're not talking about huge numbers here. And already when we reinstalled the dividend in a year ago, we clearly said we want to start to demonstrate our commitment, but it's by far not the level that we expect in the mid and long term we want to see, and this company should be capable of paying. And the sign, and the constant sign to demonstrate that we're willing and want to pay dividends and want to increase them according to improved performance has not changed. Again, it's 80 million. On your other question around Americas, we had a bad line and could hardly understand you. Could you please repeat that?
Just in terms of the revaluation of the tax asset and the impact to adjusted EBIT, would you consider changing the accounting around it and recognize it as an exceptional item going forward?
No, we haven't done that because in general, these translation effects, we do not record and as a special effect, but that's why we outline it each and every quarter what comes out of it, so that in case that anyone wants to do it because it's non-recurring, that they are able. But in general, losses on translation, we do not recognize as extraordinary item.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Rochus Brosländer of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, this is Rochus Brosländer, Kepler Cheuvreux. Just a brief follow-up on the guidance similar to previous questions. I guess I get clear that the pricing upside or any pricing upside on the steel side is the potential element to turn the needle on the low end of the guidance. Can you give us your current view how, when you see the potential for better pricing, particularly knowing that you have a September fiscal, so probably it has to come sooner rather than later, and particularly in that context, what is your current take on the potential acceleration of the anti-dumping duties, when that might happen and when that can have an effect on the market. And the second question is coming back to the comment on consolidation that you're actively willing to participate in anything which is value accretive. Looking around, there are not so many players in Europe which are on a same level as Steel Europe. So can you elaborate a bit how such consolidation can be value creative, seeing that many of your closer peers are crumbling in that current environment and are significantly underperforming Steel Europe? Third question on Americas, I guess volume performance looks good with 90%. Profitability is still hanging behind, particularly also because of the pricing situation. On your slides, you're talking about a new efficiency program. Can you talk a bit what the kind of saving potential or improvement potential you're seeing to get your slab costs down structurally and to turn that business into black figures again? That's it from my side.
Yeah, let me first come on the effect on the pricing. You know, in my initial statement, I said already that what we are seeing right now in Europe is a kind of a bottoming out before the announcement made today, and the spot pricing in CRU and US is already going up. Let's say we cannot elaborate in detail, what we believe the impact of the anti-dumping, will be. But our statement was clearly it might have a stabilizing, maybe even a more positive effect. We did not plan in, as your statement was true, even if it happens now, it will not help us for Q2, but it will help us in Q3, Q4. And you know, also I'm not stating how I would see the market, but you know that we have around in each and every quarter around about 3 million tons, that means 10 euro is 30 million. Just to model that for you.
Talking about a consolidation, and how could it be value accretive? Look, what we have always stated and what our firm believes is that we have on the European market overcapacity along the value chain in steel. And that's why we have always stated combinations can be helpful if this issue is addressed. Besides the current Chinese imports that is overshadowing the whole price effects here, we have always had, over the last years, overcapacity in the European sector, and this definitely needs to be addressed. And therefore, we think there are opportunities where in combinations, maybe this overall taking a look at the market, where combinations could address that issue and therefore be value accretive overall. On Americas, the UP program that we do have in place, it addresses all the issues that we did with BIC Reloaded here in Europe as well. And if you take a look, yes, we have been operationally a lot better over the recent years and the recent year than before and improved, but we have not reached technical levels like we have achieved, like on the fuel rate overall or the pulverized coal injection, the PCI rate, like we have it here in Germany. So there's a lot where we can still improve, and therefore we're working on that, and this will definitely help to, again, improve and drive the performance in Brazil.
Okay. The confidence on acceleration or significant acceleration of these new trade cases, what's your sense right now?
Now we have the statement out there. Let's wait and see. It's a better situation than before.
We cannot comment on such a process because we are not in control of that.
No.
Yeah. But okay. As I said, we see it encouraging that, with these decisions, our statement that we need to work on a level playing field is finally taken over by the EU Commission.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Sylvain Brunet of Exane. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Sylvain Brunet with Exane BNP. And my first question was on the corporate line. If you could help us think about what should be the normalized number in the future, because at the moment it's still a very high number, shaving about 22% of your EBIT pre-corporate in the current environment. The second question is on Brazil and CSA. If you could help us reconcile the sales figures and highlighting perhaps the contribution from electricity sales. And lastly, on consolidation, to understand better if you whether you talk upstream assets or if you were prepared to think about distribution along the value chain, which could be a way to minimize any cash involvement, and how preliminary or advanced is your thinking about that? Thank you.
Thanks, Sylvain. Let me start on corporate. Yes, we saw an increase in the corporate line. This is mainly due to the uptake in our corporate programs in Unite. We're now currently rolling out our network costs, and that's driving it. The governance cost, and to reassure that one, are completely on the same level as last year. We have no increases here. We're closely monitoring that one, I can guarantee you. So the programs will lead to some additional costs that we, that's what we have always highlighted, and these costs will ramp up are now coming in. On the Americas, sales of electricity, we have long-term contracts on the electricity. We can fulfill our obligations, but unfortunately, we cannot grab a huge upside in the prices of electricity in the Brazilian grid. That's a long-term contract that doesn't give us that much flexibility. Regarding the consolidation, whether we want to take some upstream assets, we're rather thinking of flat steel production and not to widen up and be more there, as I already outlined in a question beforehand. Regarding any takeovers there, we're not prepared to spend huge amounts of cash in there.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Christian George of Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have three questions, a very brief one. One is, I think you've mentioned very low inventory levels back to the level of 2009. In Europe, if you could just clarify if it's at service center, at clients, or you know, exactly where those low inventories are located. Second thing is on those anti-dumping decisions. I think Voestalpine was saying that hot rolled coils was a lot more important to protect in Europe than cold rolled. I mean, do you agree with that? And are you worried that Russian hot rolled coils imports are not being considered for anti-dumping? And the third question is, you've got a bond which is repaying this month, I think, for 8.5% coupon. Would you, are you able to refinance this in the current market conditions? And if so, would you be able to, would you consider that, or are you going to just repay it with cash? Thank you.
You know, let me start on the anti-dumping. Your statement is true that, let's say, a decision on a hot band and heavy plate, let's say, it would be quite important. That was also the reason why we supported, let's say, the filing of the anti-dumping, which was done actually in December. You know, and then now we need to see what is the final decision and, let's say, how does the decision to look like to make, let's say, a more precise statement. But your statement that the relevance of hot band would be higher is absolutely true.
And the about the Russians,
Okay.
China is bigger than the Russians. On the inventory levels, Europe, that was service centers, that's for sure. We have a level of around 2 months, which we have only seen in 2009. A lower demand. The demand has not decreased this time. Those low levels. But 18 months of windfall losses have made it very difficult for service centers to refinance all that. On the bond, the 8.5% bond is due later this month. We will pay it back. We think we can refinance if we want to, but we're opportunistically acting here. We are clearly financed through for more than 2 years, and we approach the markets when we think it's appropriate.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Bjorn Voss of MN Warburg. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Just also a question regarding the import duties. I think the levels which were announced now, these 14 to 16% from China, they really appear too low to me to really have a significant impact and to really restrict imports. I was just curious how you see these levels of imports. The levels mentioned for Russia, 20 to 26%, seem a bit more, let's say, helpful in this regard. And Another question related to this. If we really see prices going up in Europe, don't you see the risk that other players, like from Turkey or Iran, could then step into the gaps the Chinese or Russians might have given? So is this maybe another risk that new players might emerge? Thank you.
Yeah, you clearly, just by mathematics, let's say the higher the better. But I think for us, the most important thing is that finally we saw that the EU Commission really is starting. And, you know, the statement of the EU Commission was very, very clear. You know, they said they might even consider it backward to December 2015. So I think for us right now, independent whether the level is good enough or not, we are quite positively encouraged about the wording, the statement, and the outlook given by the Commission today. And clearly, when pricing are going up, it becomes more attractive. But we clearly stated we are not afraid of competition. We only want to have competition where the prices is based on cost. Because we have always had, let's say, this situation that Turkey and others can come in, and we did master it quite well in recent years. But the present situation with the imports out of Asia was a very specific situation, which was not based on, let's say, a realistic calculation.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, hi, this is again Klaus Ehrenbeck speaking. With these question and answers now, we have reached the end of today's conference call. Thank you very much for your contribution. And as always, if you have further questions, myself and, of course, the IR department, we are more than happy to continue the dialogue with you. Next week, we will be on the road in London. Guido will be traveling there. And you can also continue then your conversations with him in group meetings and in one-on-one meetings. With that, thank you very much. Have a nice day. Wish you a very nice weekend and look forward to keeping the contact. Bye-bye.